You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Why do you think less students are choosing to study at university?
Well, because being a student isn't sexy anymore.
The Wire.
The Infrastructure Commission has identified that there is a $210 billion infrastructure deficit in New Zealand. Unfortunately, due to the lack of available capital, New Zealanders lose out on the advantages of high-quality infrastructure and the wealth it can generate for the public good. To respond to this, KiwiSaver manager Simplicity has created a new company called InfraKiwi. This company would be listed on the stock exchange and would only allow for New Zealanders to invest in it, primarily with their KiwiSaver balance. This company would own and operate key infrastructure assets, generating long-term risk-adjusted returns and jobs for New Zealanders as well. I spoke to Simplicity CEO Sam Stubbs about this proposal and what it means for future generations of New Zealanders. If you could give our listeners a little bit of a rundown on this new proposal you guys have at Simplicity called InfraKiwi.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Well, you know, I think that you start off by saying, what's the problem we're trying to fix here? And the problem is that we have this big infrastructure deficit in New Zealand. You know, the Infrastructure Commission says it's $210 billion that we need. But we also have this big pile of KiwiSaver money that is growing all the time. And so the problem we're trying to solve is, how do we get that KiwiSaver money and other investments from other New Zealanders into the infrastructure that we all use? And so the way we've decided to do that is by setting up a separate company called InfraKiwi, which will be 100% owned by New Zealanders. We intend to list it on the stock exchange once it gets big enough. It'll have a golden share, which means it stays a very long-term owner of infrastructure assets. And it'll pay dividends for investors as well. So creating a real Kiwi solution for a Kiwi problem.
Now, one of the things I'm curious about, and this might be a slightly dumb question, is the return on investment for owning infrastructure assets. How does it work when you have an investment, you own that, a company owns that infrastructure asset, and then it's paying dividends out? How does it generate that value?
Yeah, absolutely. So you have to think about what we call risk-adjusted returns, right? What are the returns you're getting for the risk you're taking? One of the great things about infrastructure is it tends to be a lower risk investment class, and that's because if you think about, say power or water, you pretty much always pay your power and water bills, right? Which means that the cash flow is pretty secure from operating a business there, and that means that you should expect lower returns. So you get lower returns for the consistency and the safety of those returns over the long term. So that's typically how infrastructure operates around the world. And so we would have this as, you know, part of a very diversified set of investments. This would just be one thing that we invest in, but it would be hopefully a low volatility and inflation adjusted and, you know, nice steady returns over the long term.
And what are the sort of infrastructure assets you're looking to invest in and own with InfraKiwi?
Yeah, so look, we'd be looking at sort of, there are five basic buckets there. One is energy, and that's, you know, power and meters and so on. The other one is water, all of that water infrastructure, that's fresh water and wastewater. The other one would be transport, so that could be, you know, roads, rail, ferries. Fourth would be data, and that would be, registries, databases, all that sort of stuff, maybe even data centers. And the fifth would be what we call social assets, which might be if the government wanted to lease us things like schools, hospitals, or so on, where we would maintain and own and maintain the buildings, and they would operate them. So five different buckets here. I mean, it's a huge range of assets, but it's basically the stuff that we all use.
I suppose one of the concerns might be around the governance of these assets, right? So if you have a private company that's owning them, some New Zealanders might say that they'd rather have the government own social assets like school and hospitals as opposed to a private company. So what do you say to that? What does the governance structure of this company look like, and how do we protect the common interests or the public good?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's a fabulous question. And you know what, it might be right that that nobody other than the government owns some of these assets. That'll be a decision for the politicians. But if they were prepared to entertain a business like InfraKiwi owning it, we deliberately set it up so it would be, hopefully, the most desirable owner of these assets if it wasn't going to be the government or the council, because it's 100% New Zealand owned. It, you know, in theory, if it was listed, it would have millions and millions of investors once it was listed on the stock exchange, because the KiwiSaver funds would be invested. it had this golden share, which means it was a very, very long-term owner, and it would not, you know, change its nature and purpose. So we try to make it as attractive as it possibly can be. But you're absolutely right. There is a very real political question that any government of the day has to decide about how much that they would allow private ownership of their assets. It's the same decision, of course, for councils, you know, and also other sort of private infrastructure asset owners. So we're sort of hanging our shingle out here. We're saying, hey, listen, we've created this vehicle which we think will be a very attractive long-term buyer on behalf of New Zealanders for New Zealanders, but who knows whether that will, you know, who knows whether the central local government will want to sell anything or want to get us involved in anything there. So basically what we're doing here is we're saying, hey, listen, you know, here we are. We would like to do this. There's hundreds of billions of dollars of KiwiSaver money you could invest in New Zealand infrastructure. Here's the best possible way we think that it could do it. But we'll see. You know, at this stage, we have to, you know, go out and start talking to people and see what's possible.
I guess this proposal differs from a model like Infratil in a lot of different ways, right? Because of the long-term ownership, right?
Yes, it does. Yeah, it does. And Infratil tends to want to get higher returns, and we would value sort of longer term, more stable returns. I think they're prepared to take some development risk. We're not. We just want to own operating assets. And you know, well, one of the reasons we're doing this too is if you think about jobs, right? If we took all this hundreds of billions of KiwiSaver money and we invested it overseas, that's fine. We get the investment returns all right, but you don't generate any jobs here, right? But if it's invested here domestically, not only do we get the returns, we also get the jobs created. That's just very, very good for the economy. So whereas Infratil has overseas investments as well as local, we'll be 100% New Zealand. Whereas they have offshore shareholders, we have 100% local shareholders, and I think they'll have a higher return expectation than ourselves. Yeah. So we're going to be here for the very, very long term. Ideally, we'll be, you know, this company is basically structured to be around forever. But I mean, obviously, we'll see whether that will happen. But we have very, very long term intentions here. And when we structure the company the way we do, time is our friend. Nothing has to happen in a hurry. We'll just get it right. Not necessarily do it quickly.
I think that's a really good segue into this next question then around long-term interests and long-term thinking. A lot of our listeners are young people, and young people who are sometimes priced out, well, not sometimes, almost always priced out of New Zealand's domestic housing market, right? There's a very long stretch to say that young people can build the wealth necessary to go and buy their own house and live in it and raise a family, etc. That's why they're all moving to Australia, apparently. And so I wonder how you see this proposal fitting into that broader conversation about wealth building for the future generations of New Zealanders and the long term, and switching up the sort of incentives that exist within our housing market-driven economy.
Yeah. Look. This is entirely about effectively building wealth for New Zealanders, and absolutely, younger New Zealanders should benefit hopefully the most from this. And that's because if you think about countries that generate wealth and have well-paid jobs, they tend to be what we call capital-rich countries and infrastructure-rich countries. You know, countries like Australia, Singapore, and so on. They just have more stuff that the local citizens can use, which generates the wealth, which, you know, allows them to live the way that they want to and gives them jobs. So this is designed to make New Zealand infrastructure rich, because as a country, we've been very capital poor. We've typically saved all of our money in investment properties. Now that we're saving in KiwiSaver, that's going to go into the real economy, and we want that to go into the sort of businesses which are generating the jobs for young people, and also, you know, basically generating wealth for all those people with those KiwiSaver funds as well. If this is a long-term, you know, wealth creator for them, that will be very good news for them too. So this is designed to make New Zealand a better place to live long-term, absolutely. And it's, you know, very deliberately saying, hey, listen, we don't want to be investing all of this money that you are saving overseas because there's lack of investment opportunities. We want to be investing it in New Zealand, creating jobs for New Zealanders, creating wealth for New Zealanders. This has happened this way all over the world. You know, there are examples of this everywhere. This is not a new idea. This is just the first time I think you've seen it applied to New Zealand. So it's been very successful overseas, and we're hoping it'll be just as successful here. But yeah, ultimately what it ends up meaning is more wealth and more jobs for Kiwis.
And I suppose the last question I want to ask you then is, what are the next steps? The proposal is there. It's been yeah. announced.
Look, we formed the company and we're starting to, you know, hire staff and so on, and we're going out there having conversations with central and local government about how we could be getting involved. And it will take a long time. These are sensitive assets, and you know, they're typically very large assets as well. So we just have no idea if and when we'll get our first transaction or two away. But we'll certainly be trying very hard, because this is something we're fighting for. You know, this is something that could really, really benefit New Zealand in the long term, and also obviously benefit KiwiSavers and investors as well. So there's a real win-win possibility here, but we have to go out and do the mahi. You know, at the moment, what we've done is we've hung out the shingle. We've announced our intentions here. Now the hard work begins. But we're not sort of shy about hard work or afraid of hard work. We'll just get on with it.
That was Simplicity CEO Sam Stubbs on the new InfraKiwi proposal.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.